Thanks, Pastor Gary, and thanks for being part of our team for so many years. You've been praying for us. You've been faithfully supporting us financially, making it possible for to do what we do, which has been a number of things over the years, serving as area director in Asia, and also and now back in Japan, serving in a couple of different major roles. We like to say, Marilyn and I, in talking to each other, that we kind of have three full-time jobs. So we serve as a pastoral couple for the English department of the Tokyo Musashino Evangelical Free Church. And if you ever want to catch us or check us out, we're at simply www.englishchurchtokyo.org. So give us a look sometime, and you'll see my picture there, which isn't all that great. But anyway, you can see what our church is all about. And then we also serve Reach Global, which is the new name for the Evangelical Free Church of America International Mission. We're pastoral couple for our mission staff in Asia and also in other parts of the world as well. Then we also manage, I'm being generous to myself here. We manage the Reach Global Japan guest house that gets used by people coming through Tokyo. Marilyn does all the work for managing the guest house. I just say we to make it look like I actually do more than I really do. So, but Marilyn actually does most all of the work in the management of the guest apartment that we have in the house for people traveling in and through Tokyo. And so we managed to keep busy. Lots has changed since we were here last time. In fact, last night we were trying to rack our minds to remember when we were here last. It's probably been about 4 years, I'm guessing. Things have changed a bit. You're now a multi-site church here and in Berlin, and we've moved back to Tokyo and spend most of our time in Tokyo these days. So lots has gone on in the last few years, but we thank you for being a part of our lives and ministry, and also thanks for having us here this weekend. It's good to be back. Let's pray. Father, may the words of my mouth, the words that are spoken, and the thinking of our hearts together be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Psalm 46. It's a passage I used a lot in the days after March 11th of this year with our own church in Tokyo. And I'm going to read it as a preface to the story that I want to tell you this morning. I'm getting kind of out of my usual mode here in speaking, in that I like to generally go through a passage of Scripture and do expositional teaching of it. But today I just want to sort of tell you the story of what's going on, where we are. I don't have time to tell you all the stories, but there's a huge story that's going on. And to preface it, I'd like us to look at Psalm 46. I'm going to read that passage. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, or the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Friday, March 11th was a beautiful spring day in Tokyo. And since Marilyn and I usually take Friday off, we decided to make use of that gorgeous spring day and go downtown and go to a few places we hadn't been for many years, actually. We decided to go downtown and take a walk around the Imperial Palace grounds. And so we did the usual thing. We don't have a car. We have public transportation that we are dependent on. We went downtown in Tokyo, and we spent a delightful couple of hours walking around the Imperial Palace grounds, then got on a train and got off at a stop and had lunch, and then got back on the train and then got on a bus. And we were heading home when our bus came to a stop at a railroad crossing, which is nothing unusual in Tokyo. We often get stranded behind railroad crossings a lot when we're taking the buses home. As the train went by, we felt the bus begin to shake back and forth. And my first thought was, that's just the vibration of the train going by on the tracks. You know, there's only a couple of small problems with that theory. First one was I'd never felt the buses vibrate before when the trains went by on the tracks. The second problem with that theory was that once the train pulled into the station and was stopped, the bus continued to vibrate and shake back and forth. And it continued to shake back and forth. No, I didn't forget my message. That I was just timing out 15 seconds. 15 seconds was the duration of the 1995 Kobe earthquake that killed 6,000 people. We were seated on the bus that kept rocking back and forth for over 5 minutes. At that time, we had no way of knowing that 250 miles to the northeast, out in the ocean, a magnitude 9 earthquake had occurred. It raised the ocean and sent a huge tsunami toward the eastern coast of Japan. Immediately upon feeling the bus continue to shake for 5 minutes and people streaming out of the buildings and kneeling down on the sidewalk and looking at the signs and everything shaking, we decided to pull out our cell phones. I don't have a smartphone. I have a dumb phone. All I use my phone for is to talk to people. But we do have TV on our phones in Japan. I can watch the news on my phone. And we pulled out our phones and began to watch the news. And immediately the tsunami warnings went up along the eastern coast of Japan. And when that 5 minutes was over, almost 30,000 people were dead or missing. And 300 miles of coastal Japan was in ruins. Of course, after getting home, we did get home fairly easily compared to a lot of other people in Tokyo. We, of course, turned on the news on our computers and on the TV to see the situation as it was unfolding in coastal Japan, some near us, some not so far, some not so near us. But between the tsunami, the earthquake, and then the meltdown of Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant, Japan had been hit by the perfect storm. Earthquake, tsunami, and nuclear crisis had Japan reeling. And to a certain extent, some of that continues to this day. In the days and weeks following this disaster, we received a number of emails, many of them asking the question, in view of all that took place in northeast Japan, known as the Tohoku region, has there been a huge shift in the attitudes of the Japanese toward the gospel? In other words, I think the questions we're asking, are we seeing hundreds, if not thousands, of people turn in faith to Christ as a result of the disaster? Now, before I give you the answer to that, I want to remind you that Japan, where we live, is situated in an area that is kind of like natural disaster central at times. I mentioned that in 1995, 6,000 people were killed in Kobe in an earthquake that lasted 15 seconds. In 1923, 100,000 people in Tokyo were killed by the great Kanto earthquake. This is nothing new to Japan. It's kind of like the normal. We who live in Tokyo know that someday the big one is coming. This wasn't the big one for Tokyo. We're on a different fault line, so we still have this kind of stuff to look forward to. This is normal. And so I had to answer the question. If the question means, are thousands of people turning to Christ as a result of this natural disaster? Are they turning to God? Is there a mass turning to Christ? The answer has to be no. It hasn't happened. Because people's attitudes often are, well, we've gotten through it before, we'll get through it again. All we need to do is persevere. In Tokyo, our lives were disrupted a little bit by all of this. Store shelves were cleaned out. You couldn't buy a battery or a water bottle or anything like that for a few weeks in the stores. Public transportation was disrupted, but life got back to normal pretty quickly. The city got back to the business of making money fairly soon. In fact, if you were to go to Tokyo 6 weeks after the earthquake, you would never even think that only a couple hundred miles away is complete devastation. So we got back to normal pretty quickly in Tokyo. But in the area of the earthquake and tsunami, life was anything but normal. And yet, even in that area, there hasn't been a mass turning to Christ. Does this mean that God's given up on Japan? Does this mean that God is not at work in Japan? Does this mean that God is not causing people to turn to Christ by the work of His Spirit in Northeast Japan? My answer to that question would be, by no means. It doesn't mean that at all. God is at work. And I want to just briefly share with you a few ways that God's at work in Japan as a result of this disaster that hit us. First of all, God's at work in His church. Everybody knows that in Japan, the church is small. Still, probably out of all of the 125 million people in Japan, less than 1% are Christ followers. Less than 1% of the population bows the knee to Jesus Christ. The church is small. All too often in the past, the church has been fragmented by denominationalism. And it has been characterized at times by an ingrown, inward-focused fortress mentality. We would admit these things. But God is at work in His church. God is at work to make changes in His church. I want to tell you that the tiny church in Japan has risen up and reacted magnificently to this crisis and is seizing the moment and is seizing the day by bringing help and hope to the people whose lives have been shattered in the Tohoku. Denominational barriers are being crossed as churches work with other churches. Missions agencies work with other missions agencies in a cooperative spirit to do something far greater than any individual church or mission agency could ever possibly do on its own. And groups such as Crash Japan, Samaritan's Purse, and Friends with the Voiceless International, which is led by a member of our own church in Tokyo, are providing channels in which believers and churches can work together and come together to bring the cup of cold water in Jesus' name to people who have lost everything. And it's happening in Japan. God is at work in His church to make changes. God is at work through His church to cause the gospel to have ripple effects among the local population. I want to share with you just a couple brief stories that illustrate this ripple effect that the gospel is having because of the witness in the church. I want to tell you the story about one church in northeast Japan, Fukushima First Baptist Church, a church of about 220, 230 people, good-sized church for Japan. They, like you, are a multi-site church. They have several chapels in the vicinity. A couple years ago, they built a beautiful new church building. Only one problem is it's only 3 miles from the nuclear power plant. The tsunami didn't touch it. Looks great. The only problem is it can't be used because it's radioactive. The church can't go back to its building. The people of the church can't go back to their homes because they're radioactive. And so this congregation is scattered all over Japan from Hokkaido in the north to Kyushu in the southwest, staying with family, staying in temporary housing facilities, staying in shelters. It's kind of a church in exile because they can't go home. 60 members of that church are being housed at a camp about 20 miles to the west of us in the mountains of Tokyo. This Bible camp, started by the German Liebenzeller Mission quite a number of years ago, has been in this rural community for a long time, yet it's a Christian camp, and the community has never really appreciated the presence of a Christian camp among them. Until the community found out that this camp had cleared their whole schedule for the rest of this year so that 60 members of this church could be housed and fed and have shelter in this place. And now the community points with pride to this camp and says, that's us. They're ours. Has the whole community turned in faith to Christ? No, not as far as I know. But is the gospel rippling into that community because of the presence of that camp and the ministry it had to the people of that church? Yes. God is at work through his church. Just another story, one that I had a little bit of personal involvement with. I went with a friend who lives in Singapore now, used to be a member of our church. We went up to the city of Ishinomaki, which was hard hit by the tsunami. We were doing some work for a couple days. We stayed at a karate school. That's where our housing was, a karate dojo. Now, I know that they have these kinds of things here in the U.S., but keep in mind, in Japan, karate is a serious business, and the karate sensei, the masters, have some very particular beliefs about what should and shouldn't happen inside of their dojo in terms of even how your shoes are arranged at the door when you come in. The owner of the school, the master, the sensei, was not at first terribly excited about having a bunch of foreigners come into his building. After all, they wouldn't know how to behave properly inside of a karate dojo, which he's probably right. But he agreed to let a relief organization, a Christian organization, bring teams into his karate school, house them, take their meals there, and from there to go out daily into the city of Ishinomaki and clean mud out of city gutters, clean mud out of homes, and just try to help people get back on their feet. Through the witness of these teams, through the spirit of those who have come to work and bring hope, I don't know that the sensei has yet followed Christ. Don't know that for sure. But when he was asked to share not too long ago at a community event about the work of the relief going on through those who had come and were staying at his dojo, he broke down and wept. This karate master. The gospel was rippling from the teams coming into the life of this man who at first was reluctant to even host and house teams in his school. God is at work through his church And stories like that are being repeated all over Northeast Japan. There are ripples that are going out into communities through the work of staff with Reach Global, other mission organizations, other churches, even our own small fellowship in Tokyo has sent people, money, and goods to the affected area. You prayed earlier in your prayer time for our plans to plant another multilingual, multicultural church in eastern Tokyo. We've put those plans on hold for a year so that we can focus our energies on sending people and in partnering with those who are already in Northeast Japan to bring help and hope to those so affected by the earthquake and tsunami. We want to be good partners with other churches, individuals, and organizations to bring the hope of Jesus to people who've lost everything. Well, what will the net effect of all of this be? I don't have a clue. I have no idea. Because as I've grown older, I have come to understand that the scope and the size of the harvest is under the control of the Lord of the harvest. That's God's business. Ours is to be faithful. Ours is to do what we can. The extent and the size of the harvest, God will determine that. This much I know, though. There will be a harvest. That is a promise I can cling to because God's word never comes back empty. Ministry carried out in the name of Christ and in the love of Christ never fails to have an impact through the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of people, whether it be one person or 10 people or 100 people or 1,000 or 100,000. I have no idea, but I do know there will be a harvest as the work of God continues to grow in that area. Through the actions of love, the gospel is going out into all of Japan, and it will continue to do what God intends it to do until Jesus comes. That much I know. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the work you're doing in your church in Japan. I thank you and praise you for the way in which you've caused your church to rise up, cooperate, serve together, reach out with the cup of cold water in Jesus' name. Thank you for the work that you're doing in your church. Thank you for the work you're doing through your church. And Father, we claim your promise that your word will not return to you empty, but will accomplish everything, every good purpose for which you've sent it. We cling to that promise in Jesus' strong name. Amen.